I'm not recording. No, I am. Okay.
Going to Shulchan Aruch Rav is okay because it's not, its primary usage
is
not Shabbos usage.
Its primary usage is not a non-Shabbos usage.
It's not a malacha.
Right. It's not a prohibited type of usage. Right. Okay. So we are now in the middle of this introduction by Chelek Sheni. So the Mishnah Berurah said there's four divisions of Muks over here. The first one is Muks Machas Chasar and Kis. Chelek Sheni. It's a non Shabbos usage item. It's not the issue is prohibited. It's just you have nothing to do with it. It's not a food. It's not a kli. For example, kagan avonim, mikonim, stones, sticks, umos, and coins. Now coins we have to talk about separately. Let's just finish up the sentence. Ve'etzim, bekaris, pieces of wood, beams, wafer v'chol, dirt, sand, mace, a dead person, balechayim, animals, ugargus, tzimukim, shemunachim, and mokim, shemisyapshim, or when they take grapes, and they take they take figs and grapes to dry them out to make the dried food during the time while they're drying, they're not really edible. So those things, they have no usage. So those become muksa, and that muksa is mikri muksa machmas gufay. They themselves are be'etzem non-usage items. Now the real question is coins, because coins we use coins. Everything else I understand, they're not a kli. Why aren't coins a kli? So over here in the Moisef Dirshu, they quote from Nissim Karelitz, explains that since the usage of the item is not for it itself, it just represents a value, so you don't consider it a kli. In other words, that special halacha, if you find my money in general, that money is not called kufa momen. It itself has no value. It's the value that it represents, and that's why they're not considered a full-fledged kli. You don't use the item itself, it just represents something else. So based on that, so when you're talking about something like a ticket, to an event, etc., those type of things, which they don't have a usage of their own, they just represent the value of X, etc., so they should go into that same category. And Taka Rabbi Yashiv Shlita says that that goes into the same category. Like your credit card or a magnetic card or those type of things really which would go along the same lines. So the chara they should have the same issue that they should be considered muksumachos gufa according to this, as opposed to klisha malat al yisur. Chelik shlishi is klisha malat al yisur, and that's discussed in Sif Gimel over here. It discusses klisha malat al yisur and all its ramifications. Okay, chelik revi, the fourth top area which is discussed, is klisha malat al heter umunach alav davar muksa. What we call a basis. It's klisha malat al heter. It's a regular permitted kli, but they're sitting on it a muksa item, and it's been designated to hold that item. So it becomes the base that it's sitting on becomes muksa. Afilu husa b'shabbos, even if that item is removed on Shabbos, it remains muksa. Kima shoyu alav ben hashmashos. Now, the Mishnah Berurah sort of looks like. Slips in a major rule, which is called Migod Iskatzor Le Ben Hashmoshes Iskatzor Le Kulo Yoyim. This decision to designate this item, whether it's a Shabbos usage item or not, is decided at the beginning of Shabbos. So the beginning of Shabbos is it was a non-Shabbos usage item. It cannot change its status in the middle of Shabbos. And that's the concept called Migod Iskatzor, since it was Muks at the beginning of Ben Hashmoshes, meaning Erev Shabbos, at the beginning of Shabbos, it remains Muks at the rest of Shabbos.
Can you translate those words right?
Migo, due to the fact these katzor that it was muksa, the ben hashmosh, it was set aside for non usage during ben hashmosh, during the sunset period of erev Shabbos, the that's really dusk. Therefore, is katzor the kol yom remains muksa for the rest of the day. Now that in other words that is a rule in muksa, which actually is a machlokes in the Gemara, whether you say that idea or not. And the Rabbi Huda says that then we pass on like Rabbi Huda that there's a concept called Migur Iskatsoi. It's usually just the phrase is usually just contracted, so instead of saying the whole phrase, it's a migdus katzoy. Since it was iskatzoy, meaning Erev Shabbos remains such, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, and we pass like Rabbi Yehuda like that. So that'll be in the Gaya, so you have this very expensive item, in the middle of Shabbos it broke, it fell and it broke. So once it fell and it broke, hey, you know, I'll use it for anything. It doesn't make a difference. It's not expensive anymore. My fancy camera, I wouldn't use my fancy camera for a doorstop. Right? Well, if the camera broke in the middle of Shabbos, I'll use it for a doorstop. Like, hey, but the problem is it remains muksa. So once it was muksa at the beginning of Shabbos, it remains muksa the rest of Shabbos. So that'll be negated to bosses. I set up this tray to hold the leichter, so that it's a bosses. And it's gonna, even though the lecture fell off, it still remains a bosses. So all of these, the defining moment is the beginning of Shabbos. Now, Mr. Burr says in brackets, we yesh oid shnei chalokim b'muksa. So there's two other areas of muksa. This is really the language. This is all basically a Beis Yosef, by the way, over here in the beginning of Shin Ches. So the Beis Yosef adds two more areas of muksa. Number one, something which at the beginning of Shabbos was attached to the grounds or had not been captured yet. So and then in the middle of Shabbos it fell off the tree. Beginning of Shabbos you could not get it off the tree. It's the right to take it off of the tree, pick your apple. The apple fell down in the middle of Shabbos. It remains muksa for the rest of Shabbos. Something which was not trapped, you can't trap on Shabbos, but if they said there was a trap set up from before Shabbos, which is mutter, and then the animal was captured on Yom Tov, so now I want to shecht it on Yom Tov. Well, I can't, but it was muks at the beginning of Yom Tov. That will be discussed in Hilchos Yom Tov at length. This issue with an example of, you know, whereas in Shabbos, it wouldn't mean anyway, you can't do anything with the animal once you capture it anyway. But now I caught this deer, and on Yom Tov I could shecht it. But I can't because it was muksa beginning of Yom Tov. Shenis, the other area of muksa which is not discussed over here is called muksa machvas mitzvah. That a mitzvah can create a loch of muksa, can atze sukkah v'noya, the walls of the sukkah and the noya of the sukkah and the schach of the sukkah get a loch of muksa due to the fact that they've been designated for the purpose of using it for a mitzvah. You can't use it for something else. He's writing with Hashem b'hilchos sukkah. Okay, so the four types of muksa which are discussed over here are chasar and kis. Then there's muksa machmas gufay, there's klish manata le'isser, and there's bosses. Those are the four types of muksa which are going to be discussed in the upcoming simonim. Beer dinim elu mikana tsev shem shin yud beis. Ken kosev beis Yosef. This is all from the introduction of the beis Yosef. Okay, ha'ma'ayin v'simonim elu yavin kol din ezech chelik muksahu. Each time you discuss one of these types of books, somewhere in the simon, it's important for you to stop and to figure out under what category of books are we dealing with. Now that's Mishabura's introduction. Okay. Zot Shulchan Aruch, the worm and maturim was served at the Talta b'Shabbos. So what are nun bei sifim? So there's things which are usher and mutter to move on Shabbos. Aleph, kol kelim nitolim b'Shabbos. Any kelim can be nitolim, can be nitolim, can take him, can move on Shabbos. Kulut be muksa machmas chasar and kis, unless it's chasar and kis. In other words, by the fact that it's a kelim, it doesn't go into the group called muksa machmas gufa, because the kelim precludes that status. All the cases of muksa machmas gufa are some of the things which are not considered a kelim: a maze, an animal, stones, bricks, etc. Anything which has a loch. Now the translation of the word keli is almost self-serving for this purpose. It doesn't mean a vessel which can hold something, because that's not necessarily true. A knife, a fork, all those are considered kelim; they don't hold anything. It means anything which has utilitarian usage. So by definition, it's not machlos gubba means it doesn't. It's not functioning. Now, many machlos gubba things are used to. They're the material which things are done with, you build with sand, etc. So that the fact that it's used to be built with and it's used, that doesn't make it into a kli. The things that you use to create a function, to do something with them, to be able to impact X, that's called a kli. That which is impacted can remain a non-kli. I hope that's clear, or semi-clear, about as clear as we're going to get. So any keli, but so it's not a kli shematel. It's not a machmas kufay. Kli shematel, so we'll talk about further on. But the issue which you can have with the keli, which is very common, is chutz mimukso machmas chasar and kis. If you've set it aside out of your mind, planning to not use it due to the fact that there's a potential financial loss incurred if you use it, that becomes muksa. You can't move it on Shabbos. You're going sak and shal shchita. So the first example is the shchita knife, or shemila, or the mila knife, which you're not going to use for anything other than its primary function. V'ismol shasaporim, the barber's shears, v'sakin shal seifrim, shemisaknin bo hakumusim, the knife that the seifrim use when they want to make their quills. Kevin shemakpidin shalavasas behem tashmishachar, since you're makpid not to use it for anything else. Also the taltal b'shabbos, you may not move them on Shabbos for any purpose. I feel the tzarach, makarim the tzarach, kuv, even though you just want to get out of the way. I need the place where it is. Or I want to use it for my benefit. You know, I said, makbet height, makbet morbet, I don't care, but right now I need it for a doorstep. Okay. If you're willing to use it, no, you can't use it. Even though I need it, it's a tzarach kufay, I cannot move it on Shabbos. The Ramah adds, hagoh, the filo, yeah.
Isn't that even sort of going against the definition, because it's like something that we're saying, you're not going to use this because it's too expensive to use besides its malacha usage, but you're saying, no, but I want to use it for it, it's not malacha usage as a doorstop, and we're saying you still can't do that.
Correct. Once at the beginning of Shabbos, it was, if you decide before Shabbos, and we'll see later on what you need to do to take away its status. You know, for me, it's been this fancy camera, never use anything else, anybody touches it, I say, get away. You know what? Daftan Shuva, I'm like getting too involved in Gashmias, the camera's not so important, you know, I'll use it for anything, right? So what do I need to do to change it now from Chasar and Kis to non-Chasar and Kis? So middle Shabbos, I can't do that. I can do that before Shabbos. And we'll see later on, is it a decision enough? Do you have to actually use it? You have to change it? That's a discussion later on in the Simon, how you can change the status of items.
Is the Shita of the Shulchan Aruch Rav come from the fact that the Mechaber only list kelim that are for Malacha?
You know, my understanding of the Shulchan Aruch Rav is that in Svora, it doesn't make any sense other than these examples, because if the primary usage is the Shabbos usage, how can you say that it's Muksa?
But he didn't say that it was primary Shabbos usage, it was just that it's something that's
Heter. Right, so that's a Shabbos usage. How could that be? The idea of muksa is I've taken it out of my mind. I am not planning to do anything with this thing. It's out of my sight, out of my mind. I'm not planning to do anything with it. So I've been maksit. Well, that's not true. I'm planning to make kiddush with it.
Well, also, nafka mina voyu, if you need to move it, wouldn't it?
What do you mean?
That if it's please nafka the iser, then the tzarach mokam and you could move it?
So it's normal kiddush not this, the tzarach mokam and you could move. Now, and the logic behind that is, even though its primary usage really is a prohibited usage, since I don't mind using it for other usages, I'm not makbet on it, so I haven't really totally removed it from my thought process. You know, I'm in the back of my mind, I'm saying, you know, this pencil, I can't write with it, but I can still use it as a pointer. Right? So I haven't totally removed that out of my mind, because I know there are other usages out there which I could use on Shabbos, and I would use it for. Therefore, Chazal said you can move it for other purposes. It's because it's not totally muksa. Whereas klishmat leiser, excuse me, muksa machmas chasar and kiz, those things I've nixed. So I'm left with it. It's totally non-usable. So you know, he's coming down. I mean, you're right. All the examples of Shulchan Aruch give that fit that, because that's the logic. Now the Hagor really gets off into a side point. I feel tchumen, but not an imshasakinim. You take this very expensive knife, and it's in the sheath together with other knives. So you might think the fact that you stuck your kitchen knife and your this knife and your that knife and you have your shita knife, your mila knife. I mean, that itself should be like a statement that I'm not really being so makbet on it, because I wouldn't put my mila knife together with my supper knives. Elamai, I don't care. That's not true. still also latato. That actually is not enough to take away its chasar and kiss status.
Yudan is a vila knife.
Not an is the sheath. So even if it's stuck into the sheath together with other types of knives, it's still also to move it. Another example is the kurnas shel basamim. You have a hammer which the spice shopkeeper. So he has a spice shop. So he's going to crush and pulverize these types of basamim. So he wants to keep the hammer nice smelling, etc. You're not going to use it for something else. He doesn't want it to get dirty because he's using it for very delicate smells of these types of psalmim. So you're makbid. Now it comes to the Ramav. Who adin the kelim hamiyuchadim l'schara umakbid aleim. Now you can have things which are their usage is not necessarily prohibited usage, but I'm a merchant, and for me their usage is for business. So I have a talus store in my basement, let's say. Right. So a talus is not a klishim lata liyaser. It's klishim lata heter, right? You wear it a talus. But for me, a talus is a way to make business. I can't make business on Shabbos. So for me, I've sort of designated that talus, say, well, so it's for business purposes. So the Ramah adds, that becomes a chasar and kiss situation. Now, you have to add one kinesh. He says, umak bet aleim. If I don't mind, if I'm really busy, I realize, you know, I have to go to a bar mitzvah, and I forgot my talus in shul. I say, what's the problem? There's a talus downstairs. I go, take the talus. So if I don't mind doing that, so then it's not clear. I wasn't maxed. It has to be, it's miyuchad l'schara. It's set aside for business for as merchandise. And I'm maxed, but not to use it for anything else. So if I meet those two criteria, that it's business purposes, A, and I'm maxed, but not to use anything else, so that also becomes a form of muksma machmas chasarinkis. Talk to Mishra Baruch. Okay. Aleph. Kol HaKelim. But some are filo shel kli shemlata le'isr. So all Kelim can be moved. So this phrase, all Kelim, Mishra Baruch says, it's coming to add a kinesh. Even a kli shemlata le'isr, which I can't use it for its primary function, obviously. Nitzal al kaponim, I'm allowed to use it, at least, the tzara kufay makamai, to use it for another purpose. Or for the place where it is, I can take a hammer to crack nuts. That's not a problem, using a hammer to crack nuts. Well, the main function of a hammer is to bang nails into, which is building, is bina. So a hammer is a klishim not the lisser, but if I needed the hammer to crack nuts, I can use it to crack nuts. So it is movable, and if the hammer is sitting in the chair where I need to sit in the chair, I can move the hammer. So klishim not the lisser is something which is movable. But chasar and kis, machos chashash hefzid, his concern of the potential damage, humak but alem shalom letaltalem, he does not want to move them unless for its primary function, which you can't do on Shabbos. Humak so yusam mi daitel, if he sets them aside, sets it out of his mind. So interesting, they bring over here that from Rabbi Yashu. Rabbi Yashu says that a passport or your identity card, these type of things, which you're very mak but not to use them for anything. I mean, the Americans, I don't know, they use it to underline things with, you know, but, you know, you live in a place where that's very significant, you know, you're not using your passport for anything else, other than to be a passport. So you're macro, not to use it for anything else, and you're not really using passports on Shabbos. See how they became muksa. The knife which the scribe uses to make his kumas. And the truth is, anything which people are makbid, not that they will limit the usage, not use it for anything other than its primary function, kadei shel yus kalkulu, in order they shouldn't get damaged. A saw which you use to cut the beams, boards. A sakan shel ratzonim, or the knife which the leather workers use. All these things get a din of klisha manachtoi, muksa machmas chasar and kis. Nowadays, you know, the place I'm talking about, let's say you have your electronic, you have your digital cameras and your iPods, etc. Those things, basically, you don't use them for anything else really than their primary function. So they get a din of, the usual assumption is they get a din of muksa machmas chasar and kis. One interesting question, which we'll have to answer before we get to finish off the sentence over here, is what is a leichter? What's the status of a leichter? So a leichter is very expensive. A, you don't usually use it for anything else. B, right? So the chara, it should be a case of it is muksa machus asar and kis. So, which would be so even if I need to move the leichter because I need the spot. So if it was lit at the beginning of Shabbos, we'll see later on, if the flame was on it, the flame is considered muksa machus gufay, and the leichter acts as a bosses to the flame. So it's also muksa totally. If it was not lit, the leichter, you didn't use this leichter, you used a different leichter on Shabbos. So this leichter wasn't lit, so now the issue is what's the status of the leichter? So it's expensive, I don't use it for anything else. On the other hand, I use it in a certain sense to beautify the house. I put it on the table to make it look, it has a function which is not a prohibited function. It's part of the way to beautify my house. So
why can't it be a mitzvah?
That's in the case where it was lit, there's more discussed this idea of mitzvah in that context. But it's not, but it was not lit that Shabbos, so it's not muksah. There's no mitzvah involved in it right now. So Rosh Hashanah Zalman said it's not muksah. I mean, it's clearly not the liser. But now Rav Moshe held that it was a problem. It's considered muksah machus asar and kis. I'm sorry, Rav Moshe said it's considered clearly not the liser. And the Chazanish held, he quotes earlier from the Chazanish. Chazanish held that it was muksah machus asar and kis. There's an interesting Rashba. The Rashba says that he's not even sure what it is. He says it could be nothing because you don't do anything with it. Something sits on it. So it's not a klishim not the lisser. The Rashba says because klishim means this kli is used to do something. This kli doesn't use to do anything. So there's a Rashba which holds that it's b'chal not that. Trigger quotes the Rashba. Before, I think in Simon Reish and Tess were called correctly.
So it's not
muksa. So the Ikir Psak is that it is muksa. We go with that it is muksa.
So according to the Rashba, though?
The Rekreger brings in the Rashba, at least as a Tzad Kula, in regards to Mir Lakum, and in cases where he talks about the Tzad Kula based on the Rashba. The Mice of the Minig, the straight Minig is that the way the person deal with it, it's considered muksa. And Ramosha held that it was only considered Klisha and not the Lisa. Now, Oyna Yarcholuk, this is clean paper, empty paper, Sharma Lixiva, which is going to be used for writing on. So, you don't use paper for anything else other than writing on it. So, it becomes Muksa Machus Asar and Kis. Now, the famous shiloh here is nowadays, I mean, paper is very, once upon a time, paper is very expensive, etc. Do we say nowadays, cause due to the availability of paper, that it's so available and it's very cheap, that it doesn't go into this rule anymore? You can't say it's Muksa Machus Asar and Kis. On the other hand, we don't really use paper for anything else but writing on it. So it shares the concept of chasar and kis that you're not just waste it for anything else. You're going to use it for its purpose of writing. I'm not going to, right? So would that be considered muksa machos chasar and kis nowadays or not? And that's so in Russia held even nowadays it's considered muksa machos chasar and kis. I don't know what it'll be in a few years when the computers supplant the idea of paper totally. I don't know what's going to be, over here in the most tradition, they quote from Rav Vosner, Rav Yashiv, and Rav Shlomo Zalman. They all say nowadays it's not considered muksa machus asar and kis because you're not really makban and doing anything else with it.
Yeah, but you can't do anything that's an iser with paper alone though. You need a pen or something to do something that would be an iser for that.
True, but the point is, remember, the definition of these things is how much you've taken out of your thought process. How much it's like out of your idea of Shabbos usage. So I have no use for it. I have totally no use for it on Shabbos. It's not even in my radar screen. Now, if I would use it for bottle caps to stuff things in the bottles, yeah, I would say, I can't write with it, but I could stick it in the bottles, but I don't do that. I would use it as paperweights. I don't use paper as paperweight. Like, what am I going to do with the thing? Right? Actually, there's one place that erases the shadow with a pencil. I mean, I'm not going to use a pencil for anything else, but there's nothing else you use a pencil for but that. you know, you don't really have any other usage for a pencil. So it's a, we created an interesting shaila. We have something which it's not the value which creates the haksa, it's the facts on the ground. That there's nothing else that there is really that this thing is really usable for.
So something that would normally be muksa, yet you, let's say a stone, but you use it for a doorstop. That's usually on your mind that you're using it for the normal usage of a doorstop.
Well, stone is muksa chas gufa. Right. Okay.
So what category would that be? I mean, is there...
It goes under the category of chasar and kiss.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be something that's valuable.
That's what Moshe is saying, right? Moshe is saying that the Maya said if... Batsim, it's a balamor. The balamor says if I have something which is... It has no usage other than its primary usage. And its primary usage is a klishim latalis. And it just has nothing else to do with it. There's no other tzar gufa which I can do with it. So then... What's in the gate to move it? I can't move it. The only reason I'm allowed to move it anyway is the tzarich gufay. Well, that's not in the gate because there's no tzarich gufay. The shalos can't move it on the tzarich mekayma. So he says no. Because once there's no other usage, it functions similarly to a klishim latalizu. So therefore I can't, it functions similar to a muksumachas or a kiss, and I therefore cannot move it even on the tzarich mekayma. Now, Mishmur does not quote the Balamor. Ramesh and the Tshuva says that, you should be chashish for the balamor, but even the Mishmur does not quote it at all. But if you have such a scenario, you should be chashish for it. And if it cases a tzarich, you can be saying, well, the Mishmur does not quote it. But that's this idea. And that's really this goal. I have a klisha, I have a thing which its primary usage is prohibited. It has no other usage, period. That's the reality. It just does everything else. So I can't move it even the tzarich mekayma. Does this finish off over here? Or let's try to finish off over here. I want to use the item itself for another purpose. I cannot do that. And the tzarich mekayma is obvious. I want to use the place. Then it gives you this halacha of it. If the knife is stuck into the sheath, together with other knives, the tataloi perish. You can't move the knife of the scribe's knife. What's the chiddush? The fact that he's stuck with other knives, that indicates I don't care. And also that's not true. Now, so what do you do with this? So you have the knife as muksa. So what do you do now with the sheath and the other knives? You're allowed to move the sheath together with the other knife, with other knives, even though this prohibited knife is in there. That doesn't create an issue. We'll discuss it later on. It's supporting both Isser and Heter. If possible, you should shake out the prohibited knife and move the rest. If this is the most valuable knife, also as a taltal hanadan klal. So then the value of that one overrides the value of the other ones, and it becomes its main function as a bosses for Isser, and you can't move it. Should we finish off? He says, things you're makbid love, they shouldn't get dirty. Shampina love him who ain't a makbid, if you don't care, we'll have the day. So I'm a bas, a boysim, and I don't care what happens to my hammer. I know, you know, the business clientele, they don't care if it's a little bit dirty. So I don't care. So that's not, for me, it's not chasar and kiss. Makbid aleim, if you have business items which you will not use, shalish tamash beham, kadeh shalish kakli, you don't want to use them because they shouldn't get damaged. He doesn't care. Even though I stuck him in my basement and I big sign, talisim for sale. If I don't mind taking a talis out, Gam can share the talto. That's the Mechilas Yehuda and Rav Shimon. That's the case of the Mara called Muksa and Machmas Oitzer. And Yehuda said that's called Muksa, Rav Shimon said it's not called Muksa. And we pass on like Rav Shimon, that's not called Muksa. The case where I've set it aside for business purposes.